This is the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Mohammed, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Mohammed.
Bright rays of light on the horizon. I'm reading from a publication by an organization that we have formed an association with. Very close and strong association, bonds of association. They're Catholics mostly, but they're not all Catholics. They are too a world movement. Their leader began forming the movement during World War II, when bombs were falling on her city, and she was seeing destruction all around her. She's a Catholic. She decided, as a young girl, that she was going to lead a Christian movement. Not leaving Catholicism, not leaving the religion of the Catholics, but leaving their method and their methodology for inviting people to Christianity. She decided she was going to have a different appeal. She believed that Christ's love was enough to invite people to. And if you read the Bible or heard, listen to the Christians, you know something about Christ's love. Christ, according to the Bible, shall leave you only one commandment. You know, Moses before him brought 10 commandments. But he said, I'll leave you only one commandment. And that is that you love God as you love yourself. You love your neighbor or your brother, your fellow man, as you love yourself. That's his commandment, and that's the principle of love that Pierre alluded. And Pierre is Italian for Clara. My mother was named Clara. And this woman that I not only descended, but I pledged to support, is named Clara in Italian. Pierre Lubin. And by the way, I'm a proud grandfather and another grandbaby. Born just a couple of weeks ago. And her father was in Mecca and Medina for 10 days during the Hajj month, during his Hajj prayer, pilgrimage Hajj prayer, it's all we prayer, during the month of Hajj, Ramadan prayer, during the month of Ramadan. He went not the major Hajj, he did the minor Hajj, which is Umrah, he did the Umrah. And while he was there, he spent 2 weeks, not 10 days, more than 10 days, he spent 2 weeks there in the fast month, observing the fast month prayers at night. And part of the ritual of the Umrah and Hajj is to commemorate the difficulties of Hagar, the mother of the prophet Ishmael, when she was fearing that she wouldn't have water to give her baby in the desert. So she started to panic. She was desperate. And she began running between two hills. They're called Safa and Marwa, the two hills. That we repeat that. We repeat what she did as a part of the rituals of Hajj, of pilgrimage. And she noticed, as she was coming from one mountain, one hill, she noticed on the ground, on the sand, water bubbling up. And a new spring, was formed there in the desert. And the time of Hagar, peace be upon her, the wife of the prophet Abraham. A new spring came up so that her child, the baby who would be prophet later, Ishmael, would have water. And that well is called Zamzam. And we, not Jim Jim, as some of you all say. It's called Zem Zem, not Jim Jim. Not an I, not an E, an A, Zem Zem. The well is Zem Zem. It gives water to pilgrims, as it did before Muhammad the Prophet, before the world knew about Islam. It was giving water to the Arabs. Pure water, very nice tasting water. And as I say, tradition has it, that that's the water that God caused to come up in the desert to save the life of the baby Ishmael, who later became the prophet Ishmael. So he, my son-in-law, he told his wife from over there, he told her, see, I want, it's the girl, I want her name to be Hagar. Hagar. This is Egyptian Arabic pronunciation of Hagar. Hagar. So the baby is here, and the baby has her name, and my daughter gave her the name, as her husband wanted, Hagar. In Arabic, Arabians call it Hagar, with a J. The Egyptians, the Africans call it Hagar, with a G, like Hagar in the Bible. And so the baby is named Hagar. Hagar, Sierra, Muhammad. So my daughter said, I like the name Sierra. I put a middle name, Daddy. She said, what do you think of me naming her Sierra? See, my daughter was went to Rome too, and knows about the folklore movement and Sierra, the leader. So I said, no, it's nice. She said, Daddy, I was also thinking that it's the name of my grandmother, Sarah. I said, that's right. I said, what you doing? You preserving history. Because when they asked her, I said, what is your name? She said, my name is Hagar. Yeah, Mom. They said, what is Hagar? She's going to tell them the story of how she came about that name. She's going to say, my daddy, Earl Abdul Malik Muhammad, was in the Holy Land of the Muslims during the Holy Fast Month of Ramadan. And he was commemorating, at one point, he was commemorating the steps of Hagar, Hagar, and how she was rewarded with a fresh new spring of water so that she could give her baby water. By God, the miracle that happened there. So that's history. And she, her name is preserving that history. Now, when they say, what is Sierra? What's that name? Where did you get that name from, Sierra? Well, you ain't gonna run into too many African-American named Sierra. And then she'll have to explain that too. She said, well, Sierra means Clara. And my great-grandmother was named Clara, the wife of Elijah Muhammad. And the mother of W. Dean Muhammad. That's history. She's preserving history. She says, and the Italian pronunciation is there because my mother respected, highly respected, and felt love for a great woman who brought about a great movement to better the condition of human beings spiritually all over the world. That her name is Sierra Lubis. A lot of cultures or societies, nations, they name their children according to events that occur. And the names help them preserve the history. So let us learn these things, because we are really a new people. You hear me? We are a new people. Only had freedom for about a little better than 130 years or so. Before that, we were discriminated against, segregated, kept down, and laws protected that bad system. Laws for protecting that bad system, that inhuman system, that was denying us a good human life with the rest of the citizens of this country. So we are new people. You didn't get the freedom of your body until, well, a couple hundred years ago. And you didn't get the freedom for your heart until about 1950 or so. So we are new people. Now, I used to listen to one of our singers, a beautiful brother, to sing, play guitar and sing so beautifully. And he said, "We want our life back." Well, now I know I don't want any life back in my past, except the life God created.
We are returning to today's broadcast after this important announcement. We now have W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
Because their life on the continent of Africa tells me something terribly has been missed. Killing each other up, chopping each other up, slaughtering each other mercilessly, one tribe against another, belonging to the same nation, just different tribes, hunting each other up like meat, that the meat of a human being is nothing but the meat of a cow or something. And they're not hunting it up to eat it, they're hunting it up just to hang it up. And looking at the dictatorships all throughout the continent. Our people don't have democracy, don't have freedom of choice. One little type of doctor, somebody, ruling them all, and he's the only one getting all the benefits, they're suffering and miserable. When I look at that and look at how the masses of Africans tolerate that, I never could tolerate that. Frederick Douglass didn't tolerate that. I could never tolerate that. How come? I'm in a country that has Christians in it, and they have a picture of a wonderful human being, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. And I'm in a country that has democracy, American style in it, that we have gotten from the founding fathers of this nation, of this great nation. So even though I'm a slave, you may lock me up and take away my human life. But as long as I have a human model somewhere in the air that I hear about, that makes me lift up my conscience and tell me that if that's right for one human being, it's right for me. If this is wrong for one human for me, it's wrong for every human being. And there must be some sympathy out there. So I must start my mission. I must speak. There's got to be some sympathy out there. Because there are human beings like me who, when they know this thing in its details, know exactly the crime against me, I'm going to have some support. That was the position of Frederick Douglass. That was the position of Dr. Martin Luther King. And results came, not to mention the many others, that fought against the bad condition. Now, when the land belongs to you, we expect to see a whole lot of things happening. Quick! So you tell me, go back to Africa, I go back there and help straighten them out. Yeah, I go back there and help change Africa. Something terribly is missing. And we know what it is. When we observe the newborn baby, born today or yesterday in the nursery, and we see that baby, you don't see anything but an angel. You see little angels. There's a couple little devils later. God didn't give any mother a little devil. God gave every mother a little angel. The publication by the folklore people called The Living City, and the front page coverage is on children's life. And what do you say about children's life? It says that children imitate the world around them, about them. Things, people, they imitate the world outside of them. But they try to express the world inside of them. That's why from little children, you don't get fast. You don't get bad talk. You don't get this ugly talk you're hearing now from some of these little children, 4 and 5 years old, cursing out grown up. You don't get that. No, you get decent language, beautiful language, kind words, kind expression, love in their expression. And they will give that love to anybody. They don't care if you're white, black, brown, yellow, red. If you're nice to them, they return that niceness. And if you're bad, they don't know why. You puzzle their mind. Say, what's wrong here? That tells us that God didn't create bad people. God only created good people. I've attended conferences, world conferences, on the continent of Africa. Middle East, and have received invitations to go to Far East, but I haven't gone yet. May go soon. And all these conferences that I attend, the language is one. The language is one. And most of the items on their agenda, things that they put down as being most important for them to address, are on the agendas of the other big world organizations. Their language is so similar. But actually, there's one life that's being registered now, human life. And even political issues around human beings and human conditions and need to come to the rescue of suffering human beings in the world, of suffering communities. It's not political rights anymore, it's human rights. It's gone from political rights, civil rights, to human rights. Mm-hmm. It's human rights all over. This is happening. Even in America, we're hearing now leaders of our political organizations saying that we have to come from the language of civil rights to the language of human rights. Of human rights. So I often say now that we're living in the time or in the day of religion. And the scriptures promises us that the day of religion will come. And it's translated also as a day of judgment. The day of religion is coming. The day of judgment is the day of religion. Because God gave us a spiritual core. And he created that spiritual core to come back to him, to come back to him. And when I say come back to him, I don't mean to come back to God in the Vatican, or come back to God in the haram, the sacred precincts of Mecca, or in some place, Timbuktu somewhere, or on the Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, or somewhere. No. I mean, come to God not in physical movement, but come back to God in spiritual movement. Not in physical movement, in spiritual movement. Come back to God. Return to God. So not to return to God as one object going to another object, but return to God in the state of life, the composition of life, the constitution of life, spiritual life, that he designed for you when he created the first human being. That's what it means, return to God. Come back to that obedient, beautiful nature that responds to good and resists evil. Return to that beautiful human spirit that wants to be in heaven. Was created for the first time in heaven. Don't you know all of us are created in heaven? That's how come we want to go back. He created the first human being in heaven and then put him in the earth. The spirit, the soul of the person was made first in heaven And then he put him in there. You say, oh, I can understand that. Go look to any hospital or go to the nursery where they have the new babies just born and look at those babies, and all of them just came from heaven. All of them just came from heaven. They have no hell in them. They're not hell raisers. Here I am. I want to use the best material. Why should I use the worst material when I got the best material? Benjamin Muhammad is a builder. He's not going to use the worst material and he got better. He's going to use the better material. He's not going to use something that's going to fall down, break up, tumble up. So why should I use the worst material when I got better material? If I want to impress you with something that has happened to me that I think has been good for me and I want to share it with you because I think it's good for you, why should I take the weaker impression and give it to you when I have a solid impression? And let me tell you something. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Elijah Poole Muhammad, my father, his life coming from Thomasville, Georgia, with no education, only 3 years elementary school education, not knowing how to read and write. As a child, he had to be put in the field. His father couldn't afford to let him stay in the school. He needed every hand out there in that field in order for them to survive materially. Just one of many of the South little children who had to be taken from the field and work on the white man's field, and the white man's fields, or work for their parents if their parents had a little land. That little man came up north and met another man who was not from this country. He was from Asia. And that man said things to my father that changed his mind and changed his whole life almost instantly. And it happened since then to others who followed along with Elijah Muhammad. They heard him one time, their life changed completely, almost in an instant. From his son now, from his loins, from Elijah Muhammad's loins, has come his son, W.B. Muhammad. I hope you're following me. I hope you didn't forget that I said, if I got stronger emphasis or stronger material, why should I use weaker? I don't like to refer you to me. I don't like you to look at me. I wish I was invisible while I'm talking. I just want you to hear what I'm saying and look at and listen to what I'm saying. But this material is so convincing, I would be against my own purpose if I didn't use it. Here's his son now, also educated, not by the world. When I was born, my mother, actually risked her life to keep me out of public school. She told the police officer that came there to get me by force. She said, before you take him, you're going to have to kill me. She said, I'll die as dead as this door facing. I heard this myself, a little boy listening to my mother. She said, I'll die as dead as this door facing before I let you take my son and put him in your school. She said, we're teaching him. That big red man, I didn't know how to identify his race or anything then. I was too small. But I can see his face in his statue right now, just as clear as it was then at that door when I was a little boy. He's a big Irish police. Big Irish police. And when he said that to him, his face got redder. And he looked at her and he walked right in that door. And nobody has been to her door again. I'm sure when he reported to his bosses, they said, did he say that? Huh? Say, well, there ain't no need of killing the woman, no need. Or the woman ain't gonna let us take him, ain't gonna let us kill him. Well, did she really look like she meant that? Boss, he would actually kill me, or I would have to kill her. So move them things and make it an hour. Then were they doing anything wrong? They see anything, any other violation there? They look like they were doing anything else wrong, like gambling or something like that? No, no, they look like really clean living people. Leave your head. You leave those folks alone. I'll talk to my boss. Son of Elijah Muhammad, international president of the World Conference of Religion and Peace, never have gotten one policy gate. I'm not bragging, really, I'm sad. I wish I had got a policy. In fact, I'm trying to go back to college when I get about 95 or 98. My life is too busy right now with more important things. And I don't find myself academically crippled to do this job I'm doing. God has dedicated me to this job. I don't have this job. But when I see more time to relax, as more of you all help me with this work, I'm going to go back to school. And I'm constantly in school, though. I don't think I'm not studying. I've been like that ever since I remember. Constantly in school. Because that's what we are. Members of the Nation of Islam believe that they're supposed to be students all the time. And I believe, whether we know it or not, we're following the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, who said 14 centuries ago. He said the Muslim, the believer, studies from the cradle to the grave. He's seeking to improve his knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Now you're all from the cradle to the grave, that means from the time a baby is born, yes, yes. When he's born according to the sayings of Prophet Muhammad, an original Muslim, by nature, not by conscience, not by conscience of mind, but by nature. And science is saying now that the time to start teaching your child is as soon as the child is delivered from the mother. You have to make sure the learning environment is healthy for that baby, for that infant. Because that baby is learning from the time it comes into the world until it dies. Unless some of us in the world turn them off, the education and learning. And that happens. The world itself turns us off sometimes. Here is our son of Allah, Elijah Muhammad, in Amman, Jordan, greeting the king, greeting the prince, greeting the top leaders in the world of religion. The Dalai Lama and everybody else, greeting them, and I'm doing this to them, and they're doing this to me, and we respecting each other as equals. I couldn't do that. You think I could do that for myself? You think I would have that kind of respect and that and be up there that high with the better minds in religion, of the better minds of the world? You think I could do that with my high school education? And my experience in life, I couldn't do that for myself, impossible. Only God could do that for me, through my father, through my mother, who changed their minds before I was born. My legal name has never been anything else but Muhammad. My father and mother had become what they called Muslim 2 years before I was born. I was born in October of 1933. And my certificate reads Wallace B. Muhammad, my birth certificate. It has never been anything else. The son of Clara Evans and the son of Elijah Poole Muhammad.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.